الأرض أو يأتيهم العذاب من حيث لا يشعرون أو يأخذهم في تقلبهم فما هم بمعجزين أو يأخذهم على تخوف فإن ربكم لرؤوف رحيم أولم يروا إلى ما خلق الله من شيء يتفيأ ظلاله عن اليمين والشمائل سجدا لله وهم داخرون ولله يسجد ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من دابة والملائكة وهم لا يستكبرون يخافون ربهم من فوقهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. We're going through the tafsir of Surah An-Nahl, and inshallah today we're starting from ayah number 45. Surah An-Nahl is a Makki surah, and as we mentioned before, the specific nature of Makki surahs is that it talks about Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denounces kufr and shirk and things of that nature. So today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be talking about the mindset that people have about being at aman, being at peace with themselves, thinking that no punishment is going to come to me. So, what is their attitude and what should be their attitude and what should be they fearing in terms of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we start off with ayah number 45. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَأَمِنَ الَّذِينَ مَكَرُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن يَخْسِفَ اللَّهُ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضِ. Are those people that are making makr and they are making evil plans, are they at ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to sink them into the earth? So there's a few points here. First of all, what does makr mean? Makr means to make plans at night when nobody is watching. Make plans, devious plans, against people, against enemies, against anyone that goes against you. To make plans at night, this is called makr. And usually, according to the Mufassirin, the word makr is used for those people that hatch these evil plans because they don't like to, or they're not capable of facing up to their challenger right in public and in full view of everyone. So therefore, they resort to these kinds of evil plans at night, in the dead of night, because of this cowardly nature. So, makr is basically the first step of cowardliness. To be a coward, a person, what he does is, he makes makr at night, because he cannot face up to his enemy. And especially, when the people are making makr against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously they cannot face him. They cannot face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so all they can do is make evil plans, which will never ever come to fruition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They make makr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes makr too. So Allah's makr is not that He is making devious plans, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the same word that they are involved in to basically denounce them. And this is again an example of that, maybe, that for example you tell your child to do his homework before going out to play. Okay, so he, instead of doing his homework, what he does, he goes out to play thinking that you haven't noticed. So you have noticed and you call him inside and you tell him, so you want to play outside while you're supposed to be doing your homework? Wait a minute, I'm going to play with you now. What does that mean? You're not going to play with him, you're going to punish him. Okay, but you're using play to compare yourself with the action that he did that he's not supposed to do. So, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. Makr is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing makr because he is above evil actions. Allah is using the word makr because his enemies are making makr against him and against Muslims, against Islam. So Allah uses that terminology to denounce them. Allah is the best of the planners. So, are those people that make makr of evil things, that plan evil things, are they at ease? And yakhsif Allahu bihim al-ard, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to sink them into the earth. What does khasf mean? Khasf means to make a person basically disappear. Pull him into the ground to such a degree that he disappears. So that's why the word khusuf is used to denote the eclipsing of the sun. In Arabic, khusuf is when the sun is covered by the moon to such a degree that it's completely covered and there is no sign of the sun left. It is completely hidden from view. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does khasf and pulls the people into the ground, they are going to be completely obliterated and never going to be found. This is what khasf means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that about Qarun. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. We made khasf of him and his riches and his house into the earth. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used that punishment for various people over time. We need to learn a lesson from that. So are they at ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not sink them into the ground and make them disappear into the ground? أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Or a punishment can come to them from where they cannot even imagine, or they cannot even understand, or they cannot even think. So just imagine then that a person, he thinks to himself, okay, the people of Aad, they were destroyed by wind. And the people of Lut were destroyed by, angel sending down stones upon them. And Qarun was destroyed by him being sucked into the ground. So he takes all of these measures and he says, okay, I'm going to build a completely windproof house that can withstand the force of hurricanes. Okay, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring a stronger wind that can destroy that. But he is basically taking all the measures. And he builds a house which has solid foundations that cannot be sucked into the ground. And he takes all of these measures thinking about all of the different types of punishments that could come to him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Punishment can come from where he cannot even think, where he cannot even imagine, from examples that have never come before. And we see that from time to time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings tests to people in situations that they've never seen. You know, we've seen nowadays sinkholes, and we've seen landslides, different types of earthquakes, different types of hurricanes and tornadoes that were not present before, but they are becoming more and more present, and the excuse given for that is global warming, climate change, and all the kind of things that are presented to us. So the punishment can come from where they cannot even imagine. So again, the summary of that ayah is that the people who are doing bad, they should not think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not watching them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them, and punishment can come to them from many different forms, even from forms that they cannot even imagine. They can even be sucked into the ground. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish them while they are in the state of taqallub. What does taqallub mean? Taqallub means a person going from place to place, traveling from place to place, migrating from place to place, traveling from one end of the world to the other end of the world. And generally we use this terminology to denote a person who has wealth and means and capability to travel from one place to another, jet setters we call them nowadays, a person who travels across the world, globetrotters. Why? Because they have the money, they have the capability, they have the power to go from place to place. So when a person has this capability, he thinks of himself as somebody who is powerful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, even those people, while they are in a state of taqallub, moving from place to place, and migrating from place to place, vacationing here and vacationing there, flying here, flying there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can even punish them while they are in this state. فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. And they will not be able to be mu'jiz. Mu'jiz means they will not be able to overcome and overpower the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Addressing the Prophet ﷺ, I'm talking about this word taqallub again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him that those people that are wandering around on the earth, their taqallub should not fool you. Why? Because, you know, they think that their wandering around and traveling is a sign of their might. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even more mighty than them. And there are other ayat that use the same word in the same context. And then Allah says, أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَخَوُّفٍ فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could grab them while they are in a state of takhawuf. What does takhawuf mean? Takhawuf means that a person, he doesn't know what kind of problem he's going to be facing. Okay, so if you can imagine that somebody you love very much, nowadays, you know, if you have a teenage son or a teenage daughter and she's late, she's half an hour late from where she's supposed to come from or where he's supposed to come from, you look at the watch, you try to call them on the cell phone is off, and it's going through to voicemail. So that half an hour for the parents that the child is coming late from school or from college or from work, that is the most difficult time. And different thoughts are running through a person's mind at that time. You know, did he get kidnapped? Did he run into an accident? You know, it's raining outside. You know, did the car slip? You know, all of these kinds of thoughts are running through a person's mind. So this is called takhawuf. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَخَوُّفٍ. Or they can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grab them and punish them on top of these fears that they had. Okay, so after the punishment, after these different fears are in their minds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish them after that even. فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed your Lord, He is gentle and merciful. So now you have three ayat that talked about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grabbing people and penalizing them, punishing them. But then right at the end Allah says, فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Your Lord is gentle and merciful. So that doesn't make sense. Why punishment, punishment, punishment? And then at the end, Allah says gentle and merciful. What does that mean? There are other examples of that in the Quran. The whole of Surah Al-Rahman, the word فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, the sentence, it is addressing the jinn and ins and asking them, which of the blessings of your Lord do you deny? Which of the blessings of your Lord do you deny? But in some of those verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ مَنَ عَلَيْهَا فَانِ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everyone on the earth, on the face of the earth, is going to be destroyed. And the only one that is going to be left is going to be your Lord, the one who is mighty, the Almighty One. But, and then after that Allah says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the blessings of your Lord do you deny? Why? What is, there's no correlation. Destruction, and then Allah says it's a blessing. And then later on, Allah says, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَن تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ يُرْسَلُ عَلَيْكُمَا شُوَاظٌ مِّن نَارٍ وَنُحَاسٌ فَلَا تَنْتَصِرَانِ. When you try to go into the heavens and earth, you're going to be pelted with brass and molten rock and all of these things. And then Allah says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the blessings of your Lord do you deny? So where's the correlation between blessing and punishment here? So the scholars say that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning you, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that He can punish you like this, and you can be punished, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can penalize you, this is actually a mercy upon you that He is warning you. Otherwise, if He sent that punishment without any warning, then that would be a sign that He's a tyrant. He is zalim, He's oppressive. But He is gentle and merciful to you. That's why He warned you not to do the things that you're not supposed to do. And He told you not to disobey Him. He told you not to commit shirk. He told you not to disbelieve. And the fact that He is telling you all of these things, and He sent prophet after prophet after prophet to guide you, this is an indication that He is gentle and merciful, and He is a merciful creator to you. فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. That's why at the end, Allah says, indeed your Lord, He is Ra'uf, He is gentle and Rahim, He is merciful. After that Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ يَتَفَيَّأُ ظِلَالُهُ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَالشَّمَائِلِ سُجَّدًا لِلَّهِ وَهُمْ دَاخِرُونَ. Do they not see? Again, Allah turns our attention to His creation again and again, so that we can focus on the creation, and through focusing on the creation, understand the power of the Creator. And here, Allah gives us the example of the shadows that we see on a day-to-day basis. Now, shadows are of two kinds. One thing is something which is completely in shadow all the time. There's completely in shade. It never gets sunlight. Like the depth of the sea. You go deep into the sea, the sunlight never touches there. It's completely pitch black all the time. Or there is, if you have like some kind of outpost which is completely covering and it's there permanently and the sun doesn't hit it in such a direction that the sun actually gets inside it, like a cave or something. So this is a permanent shadow. But then there are other shadows which are affected by the sun, and in the morning basically the sun will be it'll be shining in one direction, so the shadow will be going in the opposite direction, and then there will be a time when the sun is completely at the top and the shadow is going to be minimized, and then as the sun sets, the shadows will start to become long again one more time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He focuses our attention towards the lengthening of the shadows and how that happens every single day without fail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ يَتَفَيَّأُ ظِلَالُهُ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَالشَّمَائِلِ. Do they not see? Do they not look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created from that thing whose shadow returns, يَتَفَيَّأُ returns, عَنِ الْيَمِينِ from the right, وَالشَّمَائِلِ from the left, سُجَّدًا لِلَّهِ وَهُمْ دَاخِرُونَ. These shadows are sujjadan lillah. They are prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not literally, but figuratively, in the sense that they are subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sun rises and sets at the exact point that it's supposed to. It never moves from that. And because of that, rising and setting at exactly the time that it's supposed to, according to the millisecond that it's supposed to, the shadows will come exactly as they're supposed to. That shadow will never change. So from March on today, today's date, if it was sunny today, okay, which is November the 19th, next November 19th, if you measure the shadows, they're going to be exactly the same if you measure them according to the millisecond that you measured it last year. It's not going to change. And if there's any change, that will be because of our calculation, not because of any kind of discrepancy in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, the reason that we have a leap year every 4 years is because we cannot get 365 days exactly. Otherwise, after 4 years, the system goes off. So the calendar that we have of 12 months, the Gregorian calendar, it is basically a man-made calendar. And because of the fact that it's man-made, it is off by 1 day every 4 years. That's why you have to add 1 day, February 29th, every 4 years. Okay? So basically, Allah is guiding us and making us think about these shadows that we see, these are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by seeing even these shadows, we should think about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one important thing we need to note about the growth of these shadows and the shrinking of these shadows, it's a constant growth. That if you sit for a while and you try to note that growth of the shadows, the lengthening of the shadows, you're not going to see it. Okay? Yes, if you look at the shadow at, for example, nowadays 4:30, and then you look again at 5 o'clock, you'll see that there's a difference in the length of the shadow. But if you monitor it continuously, you're not going to notice the growth of those shadows. So this is again the growth of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. It is a continuous growth. It is not something that stutters. Okay. Whereas, if you see things that are mechanical in nature, that are man-made in nature, they will have a stunted growth. And the example of that is the clock. When you see the clock, the second hand's moving, there is, it moves and then there's a pause. And then it moves and then there's a pause. It moves and then there's a pause. This movement is because of the fact that it's a mechanical movement. Whereas the growth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot see. You cannot see a flower, for example, budding. You cannot see the growth of your child in front of your eyes because you're with that child all the time. But his uncle that sees him after 2 years, mashallah, you've grown so much. Okay, but continuous growth you cannot see with your own eyes. This is another of the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And sometimes we try to kind of see it by doing what's called time-lapse photography nowadays, right? Where you have like a camera that focuses on one thing and focuses on it for many, many days, and then you speed up the video and you see the flower budding, and it's amazing how you see the growth of that flower right in front of your eyes. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ يَسْجُدُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is a sajda ayah, so please perform sajda afterwards, inshallah. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prostrates whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, مِنْ دَابَّ, whether it's an animal, or the angels, وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And the angels, they do not have any kind of arrogance. Meaning that even the animals, they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they should. The malaika, the angels, they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they should. They don't have any kind of arrogance against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a lion, it will only eat meat. And the cow, you know, unless it's forced to, by tricking it, it will only eat grass, it will only eat herbs, it's a herbivore. The carnivore will only eat meat, the herbivore will only eat herbs. And basically every single creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what it's supposed to do. The only creature that disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a human being. Goes against the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it with. So, all these creatures, they prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth, prostrates. The sun prostrates. The stars prostrate. The trees prostrate. So this is not a physical prostration, but a figurative one, that they are obedient and subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they all prostrate, meaning they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether they are animals, angels, creation, everything is subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. And this is specifically, it can be referring to the angels, or it can be referring to all of the creation. Why do all of the creation obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because they have the fear of their Lord. If the human also has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within him, and he is afraid of the consequence of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course he would not disobey him. يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. They fear their Lord above them. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. And they do as they are ordered to do. They do whatever they are supposed to do. Whatever they are ordered to do, they do, and they don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, we finish today's lesson. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.